I am 45. The 29th of April, 1998, to the 28th of April, 1999. Over. Now, That's What I Call a Scion, by Hubert Hazard. It is 19 days after the agreement was signed. It is 23 days before a referenda north and south of the line, created 77 years ago, will change history. It is 6:15 and my mug of tea is cooling. I can see the A41 in the distance, sidling north and south. I like numbers, I like lines, I like Horatio. I dislike the admission of liking Horatio. Rituals have all the rules worked out. Horatio encapsulates repetition with meaning. Ritual is gesture, action, utterance, attitude, and intent precisely executed. Ritual is created by someone else. Ritual consumes a rebellion into a grey of conformity, but not Drummond's international grey conformity. Periodically, I relent, I give in, I admit I desire a ritual. I desire grey or ritually, recalling myself sitting on the Pencoun Burn bank, watching a salmon breach the surface, or ripples shuddering outwards from that salmon-kissed air. The familiar 5 feet of granite spreading beneath me, in my cold hands, a picture, a photograph, a forgery, a fake manufactured from 9 portraits in a garden landscape in Islington. A Sean Green hog, original or rendered in black and white, manufactured almost a week ago. 10 copies, carefully reproduced, distributed to those pictured. The original then deleted. Job done. Those in the picture did meet. Absolutely no doubt about that. I was there. Ken Campbell was there. Mark Manning. We were all there, launching our king mob in an invisible river adjacent to an Islington terrace garden. No tumultuous writhe like the Pencoun Burn. A ghost of a tributary, the New River, first cultivated, then pipework enclosed until finally collectively forgotten into some myriad of vague oblivions. With the gravity demanded by the occasion, the picture was deemed the official documentation. We all knew the picture would surface somewhere later, when we had forgotten it existed. We all knew it was a forgery. One Ken announced with distinct pleasure, "Photo, I say yon fo tout mon," although that might, on recent reflection, not have been his exact words. It may have been something about Araldite. Everybody in the image knew someone, somewhere, would sometime discern the faking. A fable unspoken between us. Agreement to relate that story later. This memoir is part of that. On Burn a Joint Boulder, I hesitate before beginning the ritual sacrifice of my copy. On a hook, on a line, on a reel, on a rod cast to the centre of the Pencoun Burn. Paper wiggling in the flow, the pure ritual of the cast, a motion made, grown from precise repetitions by past selves. A picture landed, no splash. I waited. How long was I there? I do not remember. I just remember staring into that other world. Ter Fo Thun, the land under the waves. The Pencoun Burn would embrace and abduct the picture like a foundling, Down to the River Cree, my attention returned. The salmon kissed the surface. It would be a perfect, vivid memory, bordering on the erotic, developing untold myths. Sinclair, Three Cairns, Hume, Catling, catching a magnificent salmon, heroic struggles, encapsulating quintessentially Atlantic archipelago weirdness, a segue into an exposition about hallucinogenic fish before finally revelation, my fascination with an Anne Brad en fils, the salmon of knowledge, dwelling upon sublime Piscean leap before self-deprecating worries regarding handling salmon in suspicious circumstances, contrary to Section 32 of the 1986 Act. Finally admitting to cooking and eating and brad and feasts right there on the banks of the magnificent Penkiln Burn, magnificently delivered. Instead, the beast simply splashed onto the picture, detaching the photograph from the hook and the current, then carrying the image away. Job done. Returning to the present at my table, cooled mug in hand, reading words, "You can only remember your last memory," I had thought. I might be writing observations on amnesia, conflating Oliver Sacks's book with bon mots about Travis. I pondered more and decided that Ken's announcement, "Photo assez yon photo mon," could not be accurate. Ken Campbell spoke talk pigeon, not Haitian Creole. Our araldite conversation was 23 years before. In my black and red notebook, I wrote slowly, carefully, "Memories are ritual lies whereupon experience vanishes." On the table, words for what would become my book 45 were scattered. Rereading, reordering and editing my words, drawing conclusions, the faked photograph anecdote, too insubstantial. That salmon, a trout. Section 32 worries. Trying too hard. Penkiln Burn and the New River. Too conventionally parallel. Anybody might fact check that memoir. I know all of these things and exercise a whole section from 45. That fable needs to wait longer to be told. Too long. Too insubstantial. Revealing the detail of my rituals. Longer than squeeze my lemons, baby, but too ephemeral. I liked a cure for nationalism more. That was solid. Memories, ritual lies we inform ourselves about things we once did in order to draw imaginary lines from the past to the future. In among the pages of the book 45, this fiction of factual events winnowed my rituals of remembrance, standing out, definitely unbelievable. 9 grown men having a photograph forged before meeting in order to replicate the pictured pose and intentionally losing the forgeries so they might turn up at a later date. The whole thing seems too contrived, suspicious, as if contrivance somehow lacks authenticity, like numbering imaginary lines on a map. The agreement, signed 19 days ago, would gently erase the imaginary line created 70 years prior, leaving millions all hoping for an authentic photo opportunity. Finally, me writing a memoir in time for my 70th birthday to avoid biography, pretending to be someone, pretending to be me. Sentimentality driven to the point of insincerity about being 45, tacitly admitting my relationship with numbers and lines and ritual was always more important than scandalous revelations that I, like Ossian, forge memoirs, outsourcing fabulation for intangible considerations. These magical distraction techniques that give a deep satisfaction, relating a story with the dour grimace of a covenanter discovering seriousness, was a prank.
Under How to Suspend Time by Marek Yaskevich. On the 5th of April 1998, in Japan, a country many, many miles away, the Akashi Kaikyo Bridge is officially opened and in doing so becomes the largest suspension bridge in the world. I am 24 days away from reaching my 45th birthday. I mention this as I have begun to wonder if this progressive aging business is all it's cracked up to be. Tomorrow, I will be 23 days away from my birthday. Already I can see that I shall have to move quickly if I am not to reach 45 years of age. News of the bridge and its construction-style suspension brings a recurring thought that maybe I should simply suspend my aging process and remain at 44. It seems a perfectly decent age. I am perhaps ideally situated on the cusp of what is termed middle age, although quite where that starts and stops I have yet to discover, but for the moment I am comfortable being in the middle. Isn't this the perfect place to be? Neither too young nor too old. No, suspend that thought. There is stuff still to do. 24 days later, not having resolved the conflict of whether it is better to suspend or not, I am 45. I suppose I can still say I am younger. After all, who is to say otherwise, apart from my parents, family, friends, Inland Revenue, Wikipedia, etc.? So, what to do? I decide that it's no good worrying about this aging thing. I like where I am, but I am worrying that nothing else is halting in its tracks. I decide, I'm getting very decisive at 45, to try a little experiment on a suspension theory. I go to Kingston-upon-Hull and begin the first steps of a walk across the Humber Bridge. It is 2,220 metres of single-span suspension. If I complete this journey, I will be suspended. I wonder if I will be able to do something that, even if it goes horribly wrong, I can honestly say time stood still. It's a bit of a hike. Perhaps I should have given this some deeper thought. Halfway across, the right knee begins to ache. I sense the aging hasn't lessened. At that moment, I leap into the air. I become suspended in mid-air, above a suspension bridge. There, that moment, right there, it works. I am hanging in time, in perfect balance. Moments later, I return to the bridge deck, and my left knee brings a sharp reminder of reality. The Humber Bridge was the largest suspension bridge in the world until the Akashi Kaikyo appeared. It hadn't been able to slow time. Perhaps I ought to take close attention to progress. It's interesting, this state of being in the middle of life. Do you go back and look at an earlier time and perhaps resurrect a previous enjoyable moment? Or crack on with it and dive deeply into something that I've been prevaricating over, thinking that can be done later, no rush? I didn't stop myself getting to 45. The suspension bridge theory wasn't supported by practical experimentation. Well, just for a moment. Suddenly, there it is. Art. I've been buggering about doing conceptual artistic experimentation and then trying to flog it to make a living. Not bad so far, some people, eh? But I can isolate this under a brand name, then any thought about association with me can be set aside, at least for a while. Yes, but what? Oh, I know from my childhood Penkiln Burn, a river near Newton Stewart. This is going to be massive. Towards the end of 1998, I have realised that the ageing thing has lessened its meaning to me. I purchased my first pair of sheepskin slippers. Ah, the warmth and comfort bring a contentment that had been creeping towards me. I begin to wonder why sheep don't have woolly feet. After all, it is all over the rest of them. That the feet are exposed seems to make no sense, considering how toasty my feet feel. I travel to Wales, deep into the heart of the country, and go to find sheep. On a hillside, I find numerous animals, but none allow me to get close enough to check out the foot coverings. I collect wool tufts captured by bushes and fences on my retreat from the hillside. By the end of my expedition, I have gathered enough woolly material to commence on what I have already tentatively begun to encapsulate as my probable Meisterfuck. Woolen slippers for sheep. On the 5th of April, 1999, I am 24 days away from reaching my 46th birthday. It is evident that my hopes of being able to suspend myself in time have not worked out as I hoped. I have, through no encouragement on my part, moved slightly further along the middle bit of age, and I am heading towards a new millennium. And then it is 28th April. Just like that. I read that Alf Ramsey, manager of the 1966 England football team, has died. In terms of achievement, this is a sobering reminder. I also learn that if I keep my 1999 diary until 2027, I can reuse it as the dates will all be the same. Apart from Easter, bank holidays, etc., etc. I wonder whether I'll last that long to be able to reuse my diary, even though I would have to overwrite what I have already written in there, or just play out, again, what I did in 1999. That would be something. A year in the life of Bill Drummond, as it happened, and I see that I could indeed suspend time, or at least 2027, as I will be back in my 45th year. Now that I seem to have solved the suspension conundrum, I have decided to get on and do something. I know. A book about a year of my life. Once it's captured there, it will remain suspended.